Welcome, everyone, to the Republic House of Representatives call today. It is June 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2025. Tonight, we're going to review Exhibit 2A, which is also called the Declaration of Independence, included in the proclamation and DSI, with discussion on that. And then after that, we can have an open floor discussion. We're also going to play a clip by David Barton called What Does the Declaration of Independence Reveal? But before we get started with that, and roll call, would someone like to open us in prayer?
I would be happy to do that. This is Becky, North Carolina Free State Rep.
Thank you, Representative. You have the floor.
Thank you very much. Dear Jesus, let me just say that it has been very hard to stay engaged, and I think that I am not the only person who has felt that way lately. However, there is something moving in the world right now. There is something, and that is you. You are truly moving. There is massive amount of more awakening going on, and I know that is by your design. Your army is working, and in the end, we win. Please be with us, the core group here in the People's House. Please grow our house with the people that you would have join us. Be with the leaders as they continue to fight this battle, not only in the corporate for the benefit of the people, but in our republic. Be with each one of us as we fight our own battles every day to come here to do your work. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Representative Solow. All right, we'll get started with roll call here. Please say here, or you can state your name or anything. So I can hear you. Representative David Schmidt, are you present, sir?
Yeah, Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin Free State is present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Cox, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Robin Cox from the North Dakota Free State is present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Blanton, are you present, sir? Okay, Representative Mark Binder from the Free State of Iowa is present. Representative Reed, are you present, sir? Okay, Representative Sowell, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Sowell from North Carolina Free State, present.
Thank you. Representative Leith, are you present, sir? Okay, Representative Holliday, are you present, ma'am? Okay, Representative Akey, are you present, sir?
Representative Akey from Ohio Free State is present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Knowlton, are you present, sir?
Representative Scott Knowlton is present from Massachusetts.
Thank you, sir. Representative Strong, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Shannon Strong of Connecticut Free State is present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Rahm, are you present, sir? Representative Brenner, are you present, ma'am?
Representative Brenner from Kentucky Free State is present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Swingler, are you present, ma'am? Okay. Representative Brohard, are you present, sir? Representative Webb Skillings, are you present, ma'am? And Representative Russo, are you present, sir?
Representative from New Hampshire, present.
Thank you, sir. And Representative Kilpatrick, are you present, sir?
Yes, Representative Ken Kilpatrick here from the Free State of Wyoming.
Thank you, sir. Did I miss anyone? All right, we have 10 representatives representing 10 states right now. Okay, so let's get started with tonight's review of Exhibit 2A, Declaration of Independence. But first, we can listen to David Barton's What Does the Declaration of Independence Reveal? It's only about a little over 5 minutes, so here we go with that.
It was. We've looked at the Supreme Court's own records, the history that the Supreme Court used, which was government documents, to show that emphatically we are a Christian nation. But perhaps no other time of America's history did it become so clear as in the events surrounding the Declaration of Independence. For with the Declaration of Independence, you had men that did something very remarkable. They indeed pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And if you know their history, for most of them, that's exactly what it cost. Now, what would drive people like that to make such a commitment that they lost their lives, their families, so much of their fortunes? Why in the world would they do that? Certainly, there had to be a driving motivation, and there was. And they explained it in the first line of the Declaration of Independence, the preamble to the Declaration. It says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now there, in that one sentence, you have their complete reason for why they had to separate from Great Britain. You say, what is that? I didn't hear it. It was 8 words, the laws of nature and of nature's God. You say, well, that doesn't say much. Well, that is one of the 4 times the Declaration does acknowledge God, but that doesn't explain their motivation. It does if you know their law books. That 8-word phrase was a buzzword phrase in their time. That 8-word phrase was taken out of the most famous law book that was ever used in America. It was taken out of Blackstone's Commentaries on the Law. Blackstone's Commentaries is what most of the Founding Fathers were trained for law. They used that as the basis of law. They cited it. Blackstone was one of the 3 men quoted most often by the Founding Fathers. Now, Blackstone, 10 years before the Declaration of Independence, talked about those 8 words and exactly what they meant. So when the Founding Fathers took those 8 legal words and put it in the Declaration of Independence, they had explained why they were doing what they were doing. Now, we've lost the meaning of those 8 words today. But for us, maybe we'd understand it if we said it's like the phrase secular humanism. I mean, that's a 2-word phrase that brings to our mind an agenda, an image, a plan. It's much more than 2 words. It could be 200 years from now, if we survive, that those 2 words will mean nothing more than secular humanism, that we will have lost the meaning. Well, in order to recapture the 8 words, the meaning of those 8 words, let's go back to that textbook. And this is Blackstone's Commentaries on the Law from 1766. And the very first chapter, he defines exactly what is meant by the laws of nature and nature's God. And notice there are 2 phrases there, 2 4-word phrases, the laws of nature and nature's God. This is his definition of the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God. He says, as man depends absolutely upon his maker for everything, it is necessary that he should in all points conform to his maker's will. This will of his maker is called the law of nature. These laws laid down by God are the eternal, immutable laws of good and evil to which the Creator himself conforms in all his dispensations. He says, this law of nature, now again, he's defined the law of nature as the law which is laid down by God. It's the law and the will of God. He says, this law of nature, being coeval with mankind and dictated by God himself, is of course superior in obligation to any other law. It's binding over all the globe and all countries at all times. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this. Now, that's the first 4 words. The law of nature is the law of God. That is God's will, what God wants. But then what about the laws of nature's God? Well, he defines that here. He says God has revealed his law in 2 ways, one through what he has made, which is why the Founding Fathers never allowed a civil law to be passed that violated the laws of nature. You see, in many arenas we argue today, over sodomy, over abortion, anything else, the Founding Fathers had laws that prohibited that, not on religious grounds, but on the laws of nature. For you see, there is no species in nature that kills its young while it's still in the womb. So abortion is a violation of the law of nature. The same is true with sodomy. In their law books, they describe violations of the laws of nature. That in itself was sufficient to say that it's a bad law if it violates any law of nature. But they went on past it. They said there's another set of laws, not just what God has put in nature. He said, but there's also the revealed or the divine law. He said, these doctrines are to be found only in the Holy Scriptures. And they said on these two foundations, the law of nature and the law of revelation, that is the laws of nature's God, the laws of the God who made nature, said on these two foundations depend all human laws. That is to say, no human laws can be allowed to contradict these. Now, right out of the legal textbook, the eight words that we have in the Declaration of Independence were well defined. You see, the Founding Fathers said in the Declaration of Independence, we cannot be part of a system that violates the laws of nature or the laws of nature's God. And the Founding Fathers had even drawn up a list of 27 what they considered to be violations of God's laws by King George III. They delivered that to him and said, you're forcing us to violate God's laws by your acts and your policies. And that was part of their reconciliation attempt. So for them, the very first line of the Declaration indicates that this was founded on principles from God's Word, that they were rebelling because they were being placed in a position of having to violate God's laws and God's principles, and they were not going to be part of a system that violated God's laws.
All right, he's speaking kind of fast, but he had a lot to say there, and it's I think it's good that we listen to that first. I would also like to point out that there are four places or more in the Declaration of Independence where it talks about God, Creator, or a similar situation. And also, opinion of former Justice Pete Moak from Illinois, he mentioned that Declaration of Independence is not law, even though it does quote law. It is, nonetheless, a Declaration of Independence. So in itself, it is not law, but it may quote law. So I hope that helps a little bit. Is there anyone who would like to speak on that or talk about any fun facts of the Declaration of Independence? The floor is open. Okay. I'll get started with reading then. I'll read the first two paragraphs and we'll take a break and talk about it. The Declaration of Independence, a transcription in Congress, July 4, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to this separation. So there's the first one there, the law of nature and nature's God, we already talked about. Continuing on, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator, that's number two there, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. In other words, the government of, by, and for the people. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. In other words, they'd rather be slaves until it becomes very uncomfortable. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to prohibit to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, while having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. So you could think of the Declaration of Independence in a way as also perhaps an affidavit against the Crown of England and their agents. So does anyone have any comments or questions on the first two paragraphs? The floor is open.
This is Charlene Brenner from the Free State of Kentucky. You all may already know this, but I got an insight into that phrase, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, in the sense that we have a right to life. And then within that context, liberty is like the ability to function within the realm of God's laws. It's not the freedom to do whatever you want to do at random. It's to function within those parameters that are set by God's law, such as the Ten Commandments. And then within that parameter, you pursue happiness. It's just the insight I got this week. That's it. And you all may have already.
Thank you, Representative Brenner. Sometimes when you hear it, it's a little different wording. Sometimes it has more profound effect. You never know. I guess that's one reason why, if there's anything important in the Bible, it's at least three different places in the Bible, and it's usually worded a little bit differently, or an analogy helps explain it or something. Yep. So the floor is open. Any other comments or questions about the first two paragraphs? Okay. We're going to go ahead and read through the 27 violations. And you can probably imagine, I apologize if you can hear the thunder, I'm having a thunderstorm right now. You can probably imagine how they apply to the law of nature and nature's God in violating this, and also human decency and morality. So here we go. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. Now they use assent a lot, and I looked up the word assent just for clarification, and I used the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, because it's the Republic-approved dictionary for looking up documents. We'll just say de jure documents, how's that, and founding documents. So anyway, assent is to admit as true, to agree, to yield or concede, or rather to express an agreement of mind to what is alleged or proposed. So in other words, it's an agreement to an idea of what somebody said. And that's good, because that starts the conversation, that starts the process. And don't confuse that with the word concede, because that means that you completely agree with the problem, the solution, and what needs to be done to take care of all that. So it's a little bit different. So a sense just agreeing to the idea, basically. Okay. Another one, the second one is he has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspected, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. So far, it's just been acting like a tyrant. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. So in other words, public records, in other words, original documents. You just don't want to carry those around wherever you go. They might be lost at sea or something. They didn't have fax machines back then in case they had to travel to England to convene, if you will. And so that was a big problem for them. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. And he has refused for a long time after such disillusions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise. So I also looked up the word annihilate, and that means to reduce to nothing, to destroy the existence of, basically, is what that means. So no big mystery there. I decided to look it up, check it out. Does anyone have any comments or any questions about what we've read on the first page? The floor is open.
Could you explain, please, that last paragraph?
Repeated injuries or and usurpation?
He's refused for a long time.
Oh, okay. He has refused for a long time after such disillusions to cause others to be elected. In other words, it's kind of a form of selection instead of election, in my opinion. He may have had agents. There were also Federalists that were kind to the English monarchy. So he would put people in that he would want in if he did anything at all. And then the other part of it is whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation means you can't destroy them. They're there. You know, you can't destroy them. Have returned to the people at large for their exercise. So they're just not being effective for the people is what I'm getting out of that anyway. Anyone else having a different take on that? The floor is open.
So they're just installed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because he's refused for a long time after such disillusion to cause others to be elected. So basically he's come against he has dissolved representative houses repeatedly. You know, people, representative houses as in representing the people. It didn't necessarily need to be a Congress, but it could have been, or it could have been a county, or not a county, what I'm thinking of here. It could have been a territory, representatives of a territory maybe, or I don't know if they had counties back then or not, maybe of counties. Something, you know, people meeting. He wanted to not allow the people to have the right to assemble or redress his grievances. That's what he's trying to stop. In my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I have a list of reading material you could follow up on if you'd like to that speak to this time, you know, around 1776 and what the people were going through and stuff. So, like, for example, there's Patrick Henry's speech, Liberty or Death. That one definitely speaks to this time. It was right before the Declaration of Independence was passed, or they were thinking about doing it. There's also one from John Adams to Abigail Adams. That was on the Declaration of Independence. It was a letter of Philadelphia, July 3rd, 1776. So, like, allegedly one day before it was passed, ratified. And then another one would be the Declaration of the Causes and Necessity of Taking Up Arms. and that was done July 6, 1775, by the Second Continental Congress, who created the Continental Army as well. So that's a little bit longer paper saying why you need to defend your home front and why you have the God-given unalienable rights to do so, basically what it says. So I find it very important to try to read a couple things in this time, in a time period, to try to get you a couple different perspectives of what was going on, and they're usually not mentioned altogether, except perhaps in the re-inhabited books. So that always helps. So they were going through physical abuses and physical damage to their families and their countries and their governments, where at this point in time, most of the time, what the Republic's going through is more like internet or cyber attacks and so on and so forth. So it's a bit different time, different attack. But the plan of the enemy seems to almost always be the same: kill, steal, and destroy. Okay, no further comments or anything. We can move on. On the next page, it says, I didn't finish reading it all together, did I? Okay. All right, so I'll go back to the last line on the first page. Legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. So that might help a little, explain a little bit better, Representative Cox. So they were, I can't use that phrase. They were, they weren't being protected. They were being hung out to dry, in other words. Could be from other nations there, or it could be from pirates, or anything like that, really. They were just being, they're just kind of being exposed, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay, continuing on. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands, assigning, which means assigning to a particular use or person. So that's what appropriation of lands basically means. Continuing on, he has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. No lawful courtrooms, basically. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. You could probably formulate the bar card-carrying attorneys in there as well, or his agents, because as the original 13th Amendment was not recognized, especially by England, or the corporation, that kind of gave the English their agents. And bar card-carrying attorneys could be secret agents, they could be agents of the crown, there's lots of variations that could be there. But we'll do one more and open up for questions. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substances. So he's basically talking about his red coat military there. So, any questions or comments about these usurpations? Floor is open. Okay, a lot of this is pretty basic. Some of it, it takes a little bit of noodling to figure it out. So, continue on. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. You can imagine why the Constitution says no standing armies except longer than 2 years unless they're under war. He has affected to render the military independent of the and superior to the civil power, which is a big no-no in a republic. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. And then another one is for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. So in other words, the military could be used as assassins if they thought the need be there, and the courts would not do anything about that. They just look the other way, basically. And then for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, that's losing a lot of freedom there. For imposing taxes on us without our consent, of course, taxation without representation, and for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury. Okay, does anyone have any comments or questions on those that we just read? A lot of usurpations also at this time, especially trial by jury nowadays. But that's basically the only way you get a trial in a biblical common law court in America, once the republic gets stood up. Okay, I'll continue on. For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule unto these colonies. So more dictatorship. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. So I just want to speak a little about the charters. There are, of course, every colony that was established and got funding from another nation, as in England or maybe France, their charters were their letter from the crown to do so. And the charters also, every one that I know of, contained the fact that you need to promote Christianity to the inhabitants thereof, of the land that you get your charter from. At least in America, that's the way it was. So, in other words, that's good. And another way you could think about it, why would a tyrant do that? Well, maybe his plan was to bring in the Church of England into America. Who knows? But that is a possibility. So, anyway, God took a possible negative and made it into a positive, for sure. Okay, I'll read a couple more and then we'll ask for questions or comments. Forms of our governments for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with the power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. So that's a suspension. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us through his military, of course. Any comments or questions about those that we just read?
So he's basically saying that the King George was saying that in the United States we were out from under his protection, and that we were out from under his government, and that his government doesn't apply to us? Is that what he was saying?
Yeah, in a way, I think he was basically saying, okay, unless you're royalty over there or part of the army or something, you're on your own. This is a land where we're going to get your crops and we're going to do what we can to enrich the mother country is what I'm getting out of this anyway. Anyone else has a different take on it, please come forward and speak. Does that sound right to you, Representative Cox?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know you could study this for a long time and get a lot more out of it, and that's kind of the design of putting all these documents in the DSI and Proclamation of Claim and Interest is where you, in a way for you to continue studying other than also putting exhibits in that support freedoms and republic government.
So basically, they would just, the English would take what they wanted, everything they wanted from us and give us nothing.
Yep, they had the armies over there, and they thought that we were helpless. The only problem is we had God on our side, and that's how all this happened. That's how we have what little freedoms we have left, and we're trying to get them back.
Uh-huh.
So, yep. I mean, tyrants, they want you to be their God, just like the corporation government wants you to think of them as your God, and that's not how we do it in a Christian society,
right,
that has a biblical worldview. I don't do that.
Right.
So he's trying to do as much damage and be a tyrant and get people in fear so he can control them better, what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because we were rebels to him, you know.
Right.
Okay. Continuing on. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He has, at this time, transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, dissolution, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. And we'll get into this at the end. He has no rule. He has no right or he has no proper way to rule a government if he's just going to act like a tyrant and be very abusive to them and stuff. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. Now, I haven't read a lot about books that were written about that time, but I can only imagine how bad it could have been in some areas. And I can only imagine why some people wanted to be pioneers and get the heck out of there, you know, to maybe even be mountain men and get free from all that. I'm pretty sure I would want to be. Okay. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In other words, wipe them all out. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose charter is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. And that's basically what the Magna Carta was basically saying of Running Meade back in, was it 2015, Representative Schmidt, somewhere on in there. And it basically said that no one, even the monarchy, are above the law. What they had to agree to, basically. And here we go again. King George III, pretty much deaf and pretty much blind, is doing all this. It kind of makes you wonder if there weren't several evil people surrounding him also to help him do all that. Anyway, are there any questions about what we just read? The floor is open.
Mm-hmm.
Even comments, if you just want to make a comment, like, gee, I wouldn't want to live in that time or whatever. You're free to do that, no problem. Okay. I will continue on then. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislatures to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity. We must therefore be acquiesce. I'm going to finish that and go back to one word here. In the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. So basically they're saying, back off, leave us alone. We don't need tyrants, you know, we don't need this abuse. So going back to consanguinity, can't even say it at the same time, consanguinity, there we go. That means the relation of person by blood. If you didn't know that, I had to look that one up. So I'll read that again real quick here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and of, I'm just going to say, the relation of persons by blood. So even if their ancestors were over here, or their relatives were over here, and they were partaking in anything that the English government thought was injurious to them and not to their advantage, then they would suffer the same pains and penalties. In fact, they were informants to do just that, to inform the armies and stuff. So I'll go back to continuing. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. So I guess maybe the phrase, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, might play in there a little bit on certain occasions. Anyway, does anyone have any questions on that? That last paragraph we read. The thing that got me at the first part of that paragraph is unwarrantable jurisdiction. That just sounds very scary to me, especially if it's over in other people. So, you know, in the Republic, if you're going to search someone or seize something or whatever, you need to have a signed warrant signed in ink by a judge before you can do that. Yeah. They didn't have to have any kind of warrant to go in and do what they wanted to do as long as their captain or their commander said, yes, this is what we got to do, or an informant informed about a person or a family. And just think how many people did that and were wrong about it, the informants, that is. Just a whole lot of sorrow going on then that I can see in some places.
Yeah.
Would anyone else like to weigh in on that? Okay, we got one paragraph to go here, and then some names. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to, here's the third mention, the Supreme Judge of the world, for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, so divine providence is the fourth time that God is mentioned, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Okay.
Wow.
So I find it interesting that there are 13 colonies mentioned at the beginning, and at the end, there were 15 states that signed the Declaration of Independence. So, and I did listen to a piece about that. I can't remember who it was. It might have been David Barton. I think maybe it was. I think I listened to a couple of them. Anyway, they were talking about that not all of these signers signed this on July 4th, 1776. Some of them it was maybe 2 weeks later before they signed for whatever reason. It could have possibly been that it wasn't safe to go and sign it at that time because you'd be informed upon. And then you'd be arrested, and who knows what happened after that. But anyway. So there's 56 signatures, and I know there were, I'm thinking there may have been, no, don't quote me on this, I think there may have been maybe 10 that didn't sign it right away, or maybe less, 5 to 10 I'd say, maybe. Anyway, but still it was enough to ratify it and pass it, and send it on to Mary England. So,
how many signers were there?
56.
Okay.
But they didn't all sign it at the same time. I think there was like a two-week lag maybe on at least most of the other ones. And so, of course, that would be a good time to, before you send it off to England, to get your army together. And that is what they did for, where'd my note go here? Here it is. For the Declaration of the Causes and Necessity of Taking Up Arms, which is July 6, 1775, they would want to get prepared before they actually presented the Declaration of Independence, or their people got, the English got wind, the English soldiers got wind of the Declaration of Independence. So, and I'm sure that's when the Minutemen began forming too. It was around in that 1 year time period or so. Once again, I didn't look that up, but I'm just trying to put a few pieces together here to make more things make sense. So, does anybody have any comments or questions on the Declaration of Independence? Floor is open. Okay. All right. So, it was a great discussion. Thanks for all that participated, and those that that reached a few people and stuff. I'll put another piece of the puzzle together, I hope. So the floor is open on discussion. In a moment. Whatever you want to bring concerning Republic documents or legislation, current events, or anything that could benefit the Republic and the representatives, please note that any documents you want to read in their entirety must be sent to the House admin first for review so that he can send it on to the other representatives. We're talking about official documents or something that is going to be proposed. That's all. So please remember this proceeding is recorded and is open to others in the gallery, archive recordings on the Republic website at republicforunitedstatesofamerica.org, and then there's a /category/HORG/. So it goes back to 2017 if you want to look up some of the old ones. We went through the Constitution then, which I think we're going to do next time, and something to that effect. So, okay, so the floor is open. If you have anything that you want to bring, any current events, anything President Trump's doing, you can talk about that here. It's not a big deal.
I have a question.
Yes, please go ahead, Representative Cox.
I'm sorry, I should have said this is Representative Robin Cox. I have a question. Regarding the unconstitutionality of the federal mandates or otherwise for vaccine mandates, people have raised the 9th and 10th Amendments and the 14th Amendments to the Constitution. I'm a little foggy on that. And could you help me with that, please?
Well, the 10th Amendment basically states, I'm going to paraphrase, it says that anything that's not in the Constitution or any of the acts of the Constitution, that it's basically up to the states or the people if they want additional legislation, and of course, as long as it isn't repugnant to the organic constitution as well. I believe that's what the 10th Amendment says. What was the other one that you wanted? The 14th Amendment is...
The 14th Amendment?
Helped us to be slaves, basically. Because if you claim U.S. citizenship, and a U.S. citizen is a, by the Dictionary Act of, it was shortly after... 1871, the corporation was stood up by the Dictionary Act. That makes you a U.S. citizen, which makes you a corporation as well, because they added the definition of a person to the dictionary as a corporation to the Congress. Mm. So basically what they're trying to tell you is, I think, where it's going is, okay, you don't have any rights, you're a slave, your name's in all capital letters, we can do what we want with you. And you don't have any representation, because when they changed the oath of office, especially for representatives and senators, to instead of make them members of Congress, but officers, basically all officers report to the, to the executive government, in a way similar to the one statute 50, where representatives are also not considered to be members of the House or Senate because they're just temporarily there. We're seat warmers. We're seat warmers, put it that way. So we are officers because the president appointed us, and he can unappoint us if he needs to. Hopefully I didn't go too much of a roundabout way. I hope that helps answer your question.
It helps.
Further research would probably be good to get all your or to get the whole question answered, but I don't have all the answers. I do like to do research.
I tried doing Google searches, and they're no help at all.
Yeah, you got to go a different way than Google if you can. Sometimes I find it, if you type in an exact, say you want to buy something in the store, the exact store, then you don't get a whole bunch of roundabout, if you will. They don't try to take you somewhere else. Same thing sometimes if you type in, of course I don't use Google, I use Brave, so it's not quite as bad, but it still has those algorithms that want to direct you to buy stuff at certain stores. And out of the stores.
Yeah.
Anyway, sometimes the...
What's it called again that you use?
The what now? Oh, Brave.
What do you use again?
The browser I use right now is Brave.
Brave. Okay. All right.
They also have internet search engine, but I haven't tried it recently. I didn't like the way it looked. But I don't use that. I use DuckDuckGo still, and that has logarithms too. So, but really,
okay,
the good source would be original source material like Gene Hertler uses. That'd be the best source.
Okay. All right.
If you're looking for something that's good for founding documents, I got a book. I think it might still be available. It's called The Freedom Documents. I think Representative Schmidt knows about this. It's compiled by Chuck Baldwin, live radio broadcast. I think you can still get it. It has a lot of really good de jure documents, but it also does go into the de facto documents for JFK also and all the Monroe doctrines in there. Well, that's before that. That's not it. I'll talk about Mark Twain a little bit. And it goes into some songs like America the Beautiful, just all kinds of stuff. It's good to have. You know, it's good to have alongside of the Re-Inhabited books as well, of course. And, it's got Ronald Reagan's first inaugural address. It ends with Ronald Reagan's second inaugural address, basically. And talks about Theodore Roosevelt going to church, Theodore Roosevelt and the new nationalism, America Beautiful, I said Mark Twain. Oh, letters from General Robert E. Lee. It's got Abraham Lincoln in here. Surprised it doesn't have JFK, but maybe another time, another place.
Okay.
Anyway, the Freedom Documents by Chuck Baldwin. If I find it, I'll put it in the wire chat if you like, and you can maybe find
Thank
it
you.
That way. You can maybe preview it too, maybe, possibly. Oh, anyway. Anyone else have something to bring up on the floor? That is if you yield, Representative Cox. Representative Cox, do you yield?
I yield. I'm sorry. Yeah, I yield.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the floor is open for whatever you'd like to bring, as we discussed earlier. If you'd like the teaching to go, my plan here is to go to finish out, go through the Constitution, and there's also the Atlantic Charter. We can just look at that a little bit. Basically, I'd like to finish this, go through the Flag Act. That's something good to know about. And unless you have a different, anyone that wants to look at something differently, I think that would be a good course to stay on if we could, and then we'll get to all the legislation to look at. So if there's something you'd like to discuss or teach on or something, just go ahead and put it in the wire chat or send me an email, houseadmin@republicforunitedstatesofamerica.org, and you can make your voice heard then, if you like. So I've talked enough. Anybody else like to make a comment or criticisms or bring something to the floor? It's open. Okay. Well, I will be respectful of your time. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. So if there's no further discussion, I would entertain the motion to adjourn and reconvene on the scheduled calendar date of Tuesday, June 17th, 2025 at 8 p.m. Central Time.
This is Representative Robin Cox. I make a motion that we adjourn for tonight and reconvene on June 17th at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. I yield.
This is Representative David Schmidt seconding the motion to adjourn. With that, I yield.
Thank you very much. The motion is second on the floor. Any discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? All right. Before we adjourn, would someone like to close us in a prayer?
Yes, this is Representative Robin Cox. I'd like to do that.
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, Lord. We realize that we would have nothing without you, and And we realize that you've given us everything that we have, Lord, and we want you to be the center of this republic. We want you to help us in running this republic, Lord God. We realize we couldn't do it without you, Lord. We need your help. We need your help in everything, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, we ask that you would fight for our republic, Lord, that you would fight for our country, that you would fight also for Israel and fight for protect Israel, Lord Jesus, that you would give wisdom to our leaders, give wisdom to President Trump and give wisdom to Benjamin Netanyahu and Yisrael Katz. Lord, give wisdom to our leaders that they would realize what the best decisions are, Lord God. And Lord, I ask that you would eradicate the Hamas and the Hezbollah, the Houthis and Islamic Jihad. Lord, that you would cause the Hamas to give up every last one of those hostages now, Lord. And Lord, don't let any more hostages die, Lord. Cause the Hamas to give up every hostage now, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that you would bring healing and comfort and peace and hope to every hostage, Lord God. Bring healing and comfort and peace and hope to all the families of the remaining hostages. Bring peace and comfort and healing and hope to the families of the IDF soldiers, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over all of Israel. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over all of Jerusalem. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over all of the IDF soldiers. I pray your angelic hedge of protection around all of Israel. I pray your angelic hedge of protection around all of Jerusalem. I pray your angelic hedge of protection around all of the IDF soldiers. Lord, I ask you to destroy. I ask, Lord, that you would destroy all of the Iranian nuclear facilities. Don't let Iran get the nuclear bomb. Lord, let there be no nuclear strikes. Lord, let there be no World War III. Keep us out of World War III, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would bring peace between Russia and Ukraine. Lord, cause Iran to, that you would topple the Iranian government, set the Iranian people free so that they could choose their own government, Lord Jesus. And the same with the Syrian, the Syrian jihadist government, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you would fight for our country and protect our country. Give wisdom to our leaders and wisdom to the Israeli leaders so that our leaders would not make any foolish decisions, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you would protect us and bring us back safely to our next legislative call on June 17 at 8 p.m. Central Time. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing us and hearing our prayers in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Representative Cox. All right, everybody. Thank you for showing up. Be blessed. We'll see you in about 2 weeks. And if anyone wants to talk about something, I'll hang on the call a little bit after I stop the recording.
Good night.